seriously popular.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, mall parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to The Sidebar. Borderline national treasure Richard Arnold here, bringing you the best from the guilty pleasure celebs can't get enough of, the showbiz badge of honour they secretly adore. My Sidebar sidekicks today are Anna Whitehouse.
Hello.
Hello. And Lauren Layfield.
Hello.
Hi, Lauren.
Hi.
In this episode, it's all about Celebrity Big Brother bombshells. The Bake Off is back. Britain votes Bond, and Corrie's Ken gets some action. Shall we, darlings?
Let's.
So we find ourselves yet again on the sidebar. No shame here at all. This is the sidebar of fame. And every Monday, ITV's Richard Arnold, now podcasting's Richard Arnold, will be coming together with a pair of my shiniest showbiz pals for a cheeky gossip about the biggest stories from the world of entertainment. And as you heard just there, I'm delighted to welcome today Mother Pucker herself, mum blogger and radio broadcaster, Anna Whitehouse. Anna?
It's been emotional already.
It has.
It has.
Are you spent already?
I'm done. I'm done in, mate.
Radio 1 DJ Lauren Layfield joins me as well. Radio 1 DJ Lauren Layfield.
I was just about to say, you said Radio 1. That's really nice. Yeah, thank you for sticking it in the title.
Well, you've both been incredibly busy. I mean, there's you landing that premium new gig, and you've moved gaff.
I've moved gaff. I bought a hamster called Ziggy from Pets at Home on Saturday. I don't think there's anything more dispiriting than being on a retail park at 9 a.m. sourcing a Russian hamster. I'm just going to say.
Kind of love that as like a very mundane Saturday.
Do you love that for me?
I love that for you. And if you can combine it with a trip to like Dunelm,
oh,
then we're talking.
And a Costa coffee.
Oh my God. Go to town, love.
So moving house.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, where to even begin with that?
Tell me
there was a chunky Kit Kat involved and some fish and chips at the end.
There's rarely not a chunky Kit Kat in my life.
I'm
not going to lie. Yeah, it's, you know, when you have that stress-induced eye twitch with big life changes where it's sort of pulsating and you wonder if people can see it, that's where I am mentally and emotionally. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you move with several bin bags and it's sort of under the cover of darkness, like a moonlight flit. I mean, how many bills have you left behind, really?
Moving in with my Hinge date after 3 dates. It's all fine, Mum. It's all good.
Where's the bad news?
Oh, it's good.
Congratulations again, Lauren.
Thank you. I'm really excited and weird. I've wanted to do it for such a long time because obviously BBC Radio 1 is just such a juggernaut, isn't it? And it's really exciting to be joining their little crew now.
And that's where we go for our afternoon delight on a Sunday then. Can't wait.
Exactly. You're all welcome.
So, busy weekend for you two. Great new gig. Moving house.
What about you, Brilliant. Richard? Hang on.
Well, I popped over to Prague for a cheeky little weekend.
Ooh.
Just a couple of days on my Todd. Friendly locals. Couple of checkmates, possibly. Story for another time. Just kidding. Thank you. Just got the gag out there. We can bury that. I just thought I'd pop over and just, you know, take a couple of days out.
Did you go on the Ryanair flight where you have to hold on to a handle and
no,
get seats?
No, you're all right. I mean, a lively crowd on the flight, because obviously it does have a reputation as well for obviously St. Patrick's Day as well, too, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So, it was...
and where better to spend St. Patrick's Day than in Prague?
Than in Prague. there was an Irish bar. There were some rotting stags and some hens on the flight and stuff, and... But they seemed a very fragrant lot, actually. You know what it's like when you'll travel collectively on a Friday going away on a comedy weekend break, and, you know, a lot of us can be guilty of checking our dignity and moral compass curbside before we've actually even gone through duty-free, where we know that money spent doesn't count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I managed to retain my dignity... I possibly kept my moral compass in the safe in the bedroom, but nevertheless had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. Golden rule of mini breaks: stay out of hospital, stay out of prison, and stay out of the papers.
You know, on the stay out of prison, does anyone else always go through airport security and just think, good God, is there something I've done, actually? Yeah. I don't remember.
Every time you get
the sweaty palms, and you think, have I packed something bad in my bag?
Yeah.
Even though I'm clean as a slate, clean as a whistle, every time I'm like, maybe I am a criminal, an accidental criminal.
Yeah.
At every juncture.
Yeah, give off those vibes every step of the way. Guilty as charged. Now, let's talk about Celebrity Big Brother. It's the gift that keeps on giving in terms of the ratings and certainly in terms of the stories. Where to even begin? Now, we've been forensically analysing this now for the past fortnight. Sharon, as we know, is bolted. We reckon she was probably being paid under $1,000 a day, 8 days in total. They certainly eked out the footage of her in the house. And I know a lot of people are missing her. But, well, Louis there being the gift that keeps on giving, as I say. And then, of course, the whole explosion around Ekin-Sue Gate. The woman, of course, who has divided opinions up and down the country, and not just amongst Big Brother fans, is Ekin-Sue.
The fourth housemate to be evicted from the Celebrity Big Brother house is Ekin-Sue.
So Ekin-Sue was supposed to come on to Lorraine's show this morning, and we even teased it on Good Morning Britain, but she was a no-show. So she's obviously taking a step back. Probably for the best. Because like her face, I mean, talk about slack-jawed when it was announced that she'd be going. Because obviously Levi went first, and then Ekin turfed out as well on Friday. It seemed like a genuine shock, didn't it?
It was, I think, because she went into that house, obviously, with game face or many game faces. Mm-hmm. You could see she was different with every single housemate. She kept saying, obviously, that the edit was the reason that she was voted off.
She had to pick someone, basically, and she did pick you. And just like you picked Louis, Louis squashed it and, you know, just kind of kept it moving. And unfortunately, you dragged it on, and like, I kind of did feel for Marisha in that moment. I was like, do you know what? This is a big day for her to really, like, no, she'd just been told she was nominated for an Olivier Award, and to see her crying in the Big Brother...
You haven't seen everything. They've cut stuff out, but OK.
Guys, we're not going to blame it on the edit. One thing we're not going to do, we're not blaming it on the edit, girl.
What do we think out here?
See what we see, and it was just a shame.
I think you get to a point in a reality TV show where you have to take it on the chin and go, right, public, you have voted, instead of going, the edit, which you haven't seen... is the problem.
Totally. It's an easy pass, isn't it, for celebrities living in this kind of world to be like, well, it's the edit. Like, it's such an easy thing to rattle out. And normally you can get away with that on a show that's pre-recorded, but not a show that you've been doing where you've not seen the footage
yet. Where the many faces of Ekin-Sue are piping up left, right and centre.
So do you think it was gameplay that went pear-shaped then?
I think so. I think when you go into those things, and this is quite a serious point, you know, with Jay Goody, for example, that show broke her, right? You can see, you look back at the Jay Goody documentary, and I don't think it's unfair for somebody to go in with a game because you need to protect yourself, right? It's your reputation, it's your livelihood. And I think the problem was she didn't have anything in her arsenal to really play the game fully with the five facets, the five faces of Ekin-Sue.
Yeah.
And I think then when you have been voted off, there needs to be an element of just dignity and respect for the public. It was just the car crash that kept crashing, that interview.
Well, it unravelled so spectacularly because obviously the face-to-face nominations with the kissing booth, which once again was sort of gripping telly. Fern was terrific in that. And then Marisha was very honest. She just said, you know, I'm voting for you because were you to get to the final, then you would possibly win.
Yeah.
And of course, Marisha's in there to win. I mean, everybody's ultimately in there to win, aren't they? Because it is a game. But then it just exploded and the tears and the cuddling of the soft toy on the bed. And it's like, this is really going on. And I think the word performance was used by Fern at some stage in the diary room. It did feel a little bit like a performance. I mean, I'm trying to be very gracious here, but it was a little bit like, but you need to let that go.
I feel like, being that she was born on Love Island, her first entry into the world of showbiz has been through something that's as we know, very like highly produced.
Constructed reality.
Very constructed. Yeah. And I think that a lot of celebrities go into Big Brother and they go, oh, I'm just going to go and have a good time and be myself and what will be. And we love that because it's genuine. But I think when we've been born from constructed reality.
And successful constructed reality.
And successful and it's done well for you. You're thinking in your head, what's my storyline? You know, what do I need to do here? What drama do I need to create today? And I think that people are starting to see through that and they just want a genuine person.
Do you think you need to quit while you're ahead in reality TV? I almost think when you've got the mantle and the sort of trophies from Love Island, are you ever going to be able to maintain that on another reality show?
And then we see such crossover now of reality stars going on to other reality shows. A lot of the Dancing on Ice people come from a Love Island or a Made in Chelsea. And I think, personally, if it was me, I'd do my reality stint and I'd do what people like Spence Matthews and Jamie Lang have done and just get out of there, and just leave it behind.
I do love Handle Island, not Love Island. I'd be like, for the over 40s, perimenopausal, absolutely battered by life, that's the only reality TV show I'm going on.
Well, they tried, didn't they, with the Davina one, didn't they?
Well, that did. I mean, that did brilliantly well. But I'm with you, and it'd be great. I have a body like a melted candle. so I don't, compared to some of the people on that show, well, all of the people on that show. So maybe we should just.
You and I, like Blamange on Love Handle Island, just melting into the sand. That is a reality show people need to see.
Oh, we were talking about that, my cheeky little trip to Prague, which was lovely and a real tonic. But, you know, when it comes to the sunshine, no, I'm a total Brit abroad. I mean, I'm red-faced. The florid veins are out. And I can't stop myself from sweating.
Oh,
it's
you,
got
God.
Nothing to do with what I'm imbibing.
Are you just moist and red?
Yes.
I really would have put you down as like a tanned Italian god type person.
Really?
I genuinely would.
Quite a leap of faith, Lauren.
I'm quite disgusted to have learned what I've learned.
I categorically wouldn't agree with you, I'm afraid.
Let's just say I don't think I'd be launching many brands off my appearance on the genuine Love Island, but perhaps Love Handle Island does have some mileage. Anna, do you think we saw we've been talking about this a lot at work over the last couple of weeks as well. Do we think we've seen the real Ekin-Su? There are a lot of faces in there, I think. And it was almost like she didn't aware. There was like 90-odd cameras, you know. I mean, I agree with you. You've got to be transparent. I mean, you don't have to open the book so far, but when you're on a show like that, you've got to be genuine because people see through it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to also back her here in the. I do think that interview that she did, which has obviously been overly described as car crash, you have to also think of the personal backdrop to that, the exhaustion, having been on camera for however long, to have to sustain that constant performance of self. I don't know who I am. I'm 42 and, you know, twice divorced. I don't know who I am. So how is a young woman who was born on Love Island meant to know who she is in that context? And then put into that, you know, the bright lights, like a startled rabbit, exhausted by it all. I do,
but is
you
this
know,
not
have
the game?
For her.
Is this not what you go into Celebrity Big Brother for? Yeah. That is part and parcel. Like
she wasn't liked.
You know that you're going to be exposed and that cameras are going to be watching you. And I just think that coming. I mean, obviously, the surprise for her came when she didn't realise she was going out. Whatever she came out, she thought she was. Going to be like,
there's no
self-awareness
in that. I think that was a bit that people didn't like, is you've got to be a bit self-aware here and take it on the chin, like I said earlier. Otherwise, I think it goes worse and worse and worse for her.
I mean, it's 24/7 self-awareness though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you, there must come a point on that Big Brother journey where you lose perhaps almost sight of yourself or sense
did,
of self.
Did you lose sight of yourself when you were the Grinch on Strictly? Because I got serious feelings that you'd lost yourself in the Grinch.
I did drag my feet a little bit on that one, but I suppose I was in a green body stocking and covered in green feathers for about 8 hours, and I thought, oh, it's great, I won't be so nerve-wracking because it's pre-recorded. It's the Christmas special Strictly 2019 for those who'd like to actually do a deep dive on it. I immersed myself in the character, thank you. I did look like a dinosaur lumbering towards extinction when I was dragging myself around the floor, yeah.
That is your bio, that your Instagram bio, a dinosaur lumbering around towards extinction.
Towards extinction.
Coming back to Jay Goody quickly, if you look at her in the context of that Celebrity Big Brother house, she went into it thinking she could restore the public's faith in her. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when she had her cancer diagnosis?
That's right.
And I think that's that's probably the moral of this reality TV story, is you have to, even if with warts and all, be yourself in that context, because we're not stupid. The general public is not stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
But let's face it, it's all been about Louis of late, hasn't it? The man who would be king.
They're all wary of each other, but they're pretending to be best friends. That's the bottom line on this show. Pretend. I am not pretending. I'm not kissing. I'm not hugging. I'm just getting on with it. But I'm watching them. I'm watching them. They don't know I'm watching. They underestimate me. I'm watching. I'm Big Brother.
Louis Walsh.
That's it. That's our man.
Yeah. And the public keeping him in.
I mean, he's like, my mate described Louis Walsh. She was like, he's like a little goblin, isn't he? Like, just being so evil. But do you know what? If that's who he is, we're enjoying it, aren't we?
Love it, mate.
More goblin, please.
Best authentic self is Louis Walsh.
Yeah, he's great value. I mean, I'd watch that all day, every day, over somebody like Ekin-Su, who's kind of just playing the game, I guess.
That's what backfired again, the parallels, you know, with Jay Goody, was she went in there with that game and we didn't buy it. And I think Ekin-Su went in there with that game and we didn't buy it. And so don't underestimate the general public.
Ever. Louis Walsh, quite a sight to behold in this wicked fairyland that they constructed on Big Brother this weekend, with the horned man, if you like, with the hat on his head and stuff like that. I mean, like you say, he did look rather goblin-like, poised up there on the mezzanine with Zizi.
Zizi losing her absolute nuts next to him. She's got the patience of a saint.
Oh, my goodness me. She couldn't live anywhere else she'd rather be. Louis, do you think he could win it? I mean, our eyes. I mean, Coulson from Corrie, obviously, he's the every man of the piece, and they've got form when it comes to these shows taking the crown ultimately, don't they?
I'm in it for Louis to win it. I really am. I'm going to back that horse, that goblin-y, exhausted, like aging horse that's going to, you know, over Beecher's Brook right at the end where it trips, but it gets up again. That's Louis Walsh. I'm backing that horse.
I think it depends what we want from our winners, isn't it? Ultimately, I feel like the good guys kind of always succeed in the very end. We take the goblins up to, like, the finish line, yeah, but we don't let them win a lot of the time.
I was so surprised by how bitchy he was. I just had no idea.
No,
I thought he was a grandfather
figure. He came across on X Factor all those years as just like a little bumbling kind of guy, you know? And he signed Jedward, and obviously that's a whole bloody fallout as well, wasn't it? Jedward the other day.
Yeah, exactly. So. And Zizi was saying, look, she's uncomfortable around Louis and doesn't trust him because he seems to be so free with everything that he's talking about and perhaps would be the sort of person who'd be free with other people's secrets.
Yes.
Now, I've interviewed Louis many times. We've been in each other's orbit for a long time, certainly when X Factor was on. And he'd always be there with a cheeky anecdote and a cheeky aside, which I actually found quite endearing. And you're always aware of what you could talk about and what you couldn't talk about. But of course, here on Celebrity Big Brother, because newsflash, they're all mic'd, it's writ large and it's for everyone to see and hear, right? So Jedward, obviously, the gem I loved about that, about Jedward and Gemma Collins, was the fact that they were having dinner
together.
They were
having like a roast dinner.
And my first thought was when Jed waded into this whole debate when Louis was obviously giving them short shrift in the house, was, is this deeply superficial of me? I'd really like to have been at that dinner.
Me too. That's exactly what I thought. I
like, never mind the 5 million that Jedward apparently didn't get that's been mooted.
The GC and Jedward collab at dinner.
It's the collab you never thought you needed.
Yeah. Just never thought you needed.
Having a roast dinner on your lap. In front of the telly, watching yourself get slagged off. I mean, you can't write that.
You cannot. It's
literally
moment.
Like reality. It's like being immersed in, like fully immersed in reality TV. So who knew you needed Gemma and Jedward as a collab? Let's have a listen.
Louis, don't be slagging off my boys. They're not vile. They're beautiful in every single way. Guys, sorry, just jumping on, because I'm with the boys now. We're absolutely mouths open. Like, for Louis to say that, it's not true. The boys are lovely. I've personally got nothing against Louis Walsh, but I do know how he treated the boys, and it does upset me. And it's just a liberty that he's turned around and said that, because they are the nicest, sweetest, talented, well-mannered, generous boys. That's why they're in my house a lot. They are one in a million.
Down to a dinner that Gemma's cooked for us. And we're here to see how our ex-manager's doing because he's on a reality show that we got paid $1 million to do, but he's on here because clearly he has no real friends.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, we gave you 9 lives. I don't know what to talk about.
We know so much that we could tell you what happened to the boys. I mean, it is just...
We only met him 4 times in our whole career. Had no ideas. The fact that he's on national TV...
And I'm fuming because I've just cooked the boys a roast dinner, which I can't eat.
Like, we're for people. No matter what, we've always been there for people. We've had to put up with a lot of...
You have.
A lot of stuff. We literally didn't even get our flowers or acknowledge when our mom died.
It was that very surreal moment where... I suppose it's because the environment that Big Brother is played against now, the landscape has changed where people can immediately respond, can't they? Which is...
Which we never used to have, did we? Which we never used to have.
So the idea of celebrities biting back at Big Brother when celebrities are on the show backbiting...
It gives a whole new headline that you wouldn't have had like 20 years ago.
Ronan Keating, an interview apparently that he did in 2006, in which Ronan made it quite clear about what he feels about Louis. He also made the point as well, which I thought was very valid. Why let things fester? You know, park it, you've had a great career, move on. Because we are talking a feud, alleged feud, you know, back in, let's say, the mid-noughties or whatever. It begs the question, really, for me, how many more people, I mean, there's a few days left, how many more people Louis can... Just pull out the hat and throw on the bus. Because I said on GMB last week, I said, Susanna, I said, listen, we've got to get him out. Because I said, at any point now, we could all be mentioned, right? Yeah. Now we're running out of people, It's like playing Louis Bingo, right? So you've got all these names in front of you. And I think my bingo card cannot get any bigger. My blotter will be dry trying to stamp out the names that Louis has mentioned.
If you've ever wronged Louis Walsh, you must be on tenterhooks sitting there now, isn't it? Like, if you're a celebrity and you've ever done something to upset him.
I don't know.
You ever upset him?
No. Well, this whole section of the sidebar will be deleted by the time he comes out.
I'd be devastated if I was you, Richard, and I wasn't mentioned. There is actually, I think, an inverted way to see that. If you are not slagged off by Louis Walsh, who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah, very good point, like, actually.
I think it's a benchmark of brutal success in the music industry.
Do we think Sharon's, I wouldn't say stunt casting, because it was quite legitimate, paid off, right?
Oh, yeah, because she couldn't get work in the States, could she? Like, you know.
No, I'm not talking about the payday that Sharon received. I think she's got enough to do her Marble en Suite up, but she's currently renovating. I'm not worried
with
about
Wicks.
That.
I think they got bang for their book.
They got bang for their book.
I think they really got bang for their book. I think hearing that news that she was only in as sort of like a house guest or whatever they wanted to call it, was a bit like, oh, that's a bit of a cop out.
Yeah.
But my God, like the amount she provided in those short few days.
And it did need that. It needed that marquee name to kickstart it. Because and when everybody came in, and obviously they've now taken on their own narrative, and I never thought I'd be as heavily invested in people like ZZ and, you know, that I suddenly happened over the last...
Yeah.
I mean, it won't last.
But. She was like the celebrity matriarch of the Big Brother house, and I think it needed that. And coming back to Ekin-Su, I thought it quite fascinating how different Ekin-Su was with, obviously, somebody of such high profile.
Yes. She looked you up could to see, her, didn't she?
It was like Ekin-Su walked in and went, right, here's the top trump cards of the Big Brother house. We've got Shazza at the top. I'm going to do everything I can to get in with her.
Yeah.
And it sort of went downwards towards who had the least influence. And that's the game, I think, the subtext everybody hated was like, you're playing to the biggest party here, the Grand Dame, which is the Osborne.
Which echoes a lot of the sentiments with fans of the show with regard to Ekin-Su and the gameplay, the various faces of Ekin-Su, the fact she's a different person with every person in the house. So could you trust her more so than you would Louis? I mean, they seem comparable to me.
I think she's worse because it's more subtle. Yeah. I like someone who just says, you know, or actually I don't like you. And I think Fern called it. And I think that's where my allegiance with Fern. She called it, mate.
She was so eloquent as well. And then, but then Louis was just complimenting Fern on how she did that and stuff like that. But Fern didn't want anything to do with it, didn't want to talk about it. There's this kind of Lord of the Flies feeling about the house at the moment, because it's gone from this sort of, we're all giddy, we're all rolling around on foam bits of furniture and frocking up, dressing up, doing whatever, you know, and like by the end of the first week, it does turn into a bit of a creche. I mean, everybody's reduced in some way, shape or form, aren't they? And they just become toddler-like. And then with this evil fairy kingdom that we had over the weekend, it all got a bit dark. And as you say, the goblin / golem, sort of the Louis, sort of this wizened creature with all this scorn and bile sort of coming up and raining down on the house.
Why was Louis in it? Like, what does he need? He's surely got enough cash in the attic. Why is he on it?
I've chatted to a lot of people over the years who you'd think were why would they go into these things? You know, they've got a few bob. Some could argue, well, you can never have enough money. Others have genuinely said they've gone in because it's like, I'm not going to look at you now because you'll throw me under the bus, Anna.
Absolutely.
A midlife experience. And we'll explain that to you, Lauren, when you
not
get
yet.
There.
Not all yet. Right?
Not yet.
Yeah.
But it is that kind of, and I think there is an element, aside from the check, and let's face it, the check, particularly in Sharon's case, as we've said over the last couple
it's
of
fruitful.
Weeks on the sideboard, is fruitful. Yes, absolutely. And we wouldn't all get that sort of cash. But there is an element.
What do you think you'd get, Richard?
What do you think?
Yeah, well,
oh, come on.
Cutlet, scampi fries and a pint.
Yeah,
what are you going
would
with?
Be if I was lucky enough.
Depends how much you want to go to town, though. You must have a lot of goss on a lot of people. Come on.
Yeah,
you could do a Louis.
I would pay good money. We'd get some cash together, wouldn't we, and get him
on it. Get a little kitty.
Like, have a whip round. I think there is that element, particularly, what am I loose? What am I loose? 50? What am I now? Wiki me. How old am I? 54.
I don't want to wiki you because you know you know Wikifeet. You're on Wikifeet, and that came up the other day when I was looking into you.
Hang on, you looked at
people
Richard's
like
Wikifeet.
People Wikifeet. Richard has a Wikifeet.
I've got a Wikifeet.
Have you got? I don't have a flipping Wikifeet.
Do you want
entry.
One? I'll make you,
you are,
one.
I'm afraid, okay. 4 out of 10.
Four out of ten.
Four
my
out of
feet.
Ten. Then, that's bad.
I don't think anyone's ever seen my feet nude on the telly. Have
darling,
well, I sat under a desk.
They'll
start.
Find
darling,
it.
Those trotters have been aired.
Those trotters have been aired. I suppose there might have been some cheeky jungle coverage. I'm a celeb or something over the years. Yeah,
they'll find them.
That would get an extra tenner for you on Celebrity Big Brother. Oh, be like, get those feet out. Come
on. Those feet, my feet do belong in Middle Earth. I've got shocking places.
You'd be a triumph on Celebrity Big Brother. But darling, the general public has voted 4 out of 10. So if that's your feet, imagine your personality on Celebrity Big Brother.
Well, it begs the question, would I kick my shoes off? Am I at that time of life, Anna, where I can kick those shoes off and go into the Big Brother house? Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe the jury's still out. Well, hopefully Ek and Sue can take a breath and sit tight. Because one thing I will say, when you heard the mob outside going, get Ek out, I mean, you've got to have thick skin with that kind
hell of a lot of
feedback.
Therapy.
Yeah. So anyway, Coulson to win, we reckon. That's your Celebrity Big Brother chat. On that note, let's take a little ad break.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, more parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome back to the Sidebar. So breaking news this weekend, Lauren and Anna, Bill Roach, a.k.a. Ken Barlow, at 91 years old, is getting another love interest on the street. 91 years old, and our Bill is going to be pursued by Ab Fab comedian and actress Helen Lederer. Helen and I go way back, actually. We did a show, I think it was called like Celebrity Auction or something like that. And at the time, it was seen by myself and my other half as a great way to declutter the house. Oh, it was a celebrity car boot sale. That's what it was.
Brilliant.
I know. I remember that Helen, talk about clearing out clutter, she actually bought along to the car boot sale half-used bars of soap.
Oh, stop
that
it.
To flog.
How skimp was she at the time?
That is just gold.
Peak ick factor. I'm on the street WhatsApp group, not the Corrie Street, my street WhatsApp group, and people put things on there, like, you know those plastic flower pots that go within the actual flower pot?
Oh, sure.
They'll put three of them out there and go, anyone want these? I'd be like,
hang on,
no.
are they giving them for free?
No, there'll be a pound a go. And you know, it's like you go to the car boot sale and you're like, are you all right, hun? You okay, hun? Like, that is grim. Used soap is the lowest common denominator of any cart boot.
It's bad enough when you get those duck and shell shaped guest soaps. Like my mum, God bless her, she loves all that caper. And when we moved her up to London, we had to pack them, and they're in her bathroom to this day. I mean, they've clearly never been used. They're just gathering dust. But I wonder if such sights will greet our Ken.
Our Ken.
When he goes on a date with Helen Lederer.
Go for it, love.
So obviously, Ken is a certain age and looking well on it.
He does look well, though.
Kilt for that weave at that time of life as well.
Do we think that's real?
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely real.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Have you had a little go on it?
I've met Bill many times.
Have you ruffled his hair?
I haven't, not to the point where, I mean, Bill and I aren't that close. So I haven't put my hands through his hair. I tend to stop short of sniffing guests when I'm interviewing them as well, Anna. I don't know where you sit on that.
I felt you sniffed me when we hugged.
And it's beautiful. It's a thing of beauty.
But he's not got plugs.
I'm aware of. No,
right. That's a thatch and a half then.
Yeah, it's a very healthy thatch. And so roughly, I suppose, we're speaking about a 20-year age gap at that age. For me, it's all about companionship.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's a lovely and sweet way to think about it. But could you be bothered to be getting off with somebody at 91?
I think don't underestimate it. I interviewed the octogenarian sex blogger Joyce Williams a couple of weeks ago. And I think there's something absolutely heartening beyond companionship. Apparently, the rise of STDs in care homes is going through the roof.
Yes.
Because people are having more sex at an older age. And obviously, they can't get pregnant. So, you know, they're not using contraception. There was something, such a beautiful tale of love and joy, but I thought that's so heartening to know that it's not
everyone's
just about
gonorrhea. How lovely.
That it's not just about like settling into, you know, cash in the attic beyond a certain age. That actually, what Joyce
there's
Williams
an intimacy there.
There's an intimacy. And Joyce Williams said, the only thing she said was, the thing is, when you start banging over the age of 80, you need to get the right accoutrement to have sex. So she's like, go to IKEA, get yourself one of those sheepskin rugs for your knees.
Yeah.
You know, the little step ladders to get to higher things in the kitchen. You need one of those if you're going to do doggy. Mm. And I just thought, do you know what?
Wow. Okay,
it's not about just companion. I love the companionship bit, but I love the fact we're seeing on-screen talent doing it over the age of 80.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be seeing Ken Barlow do it. I think that has to be post-Watershed if that's going to happen. Imagine that as an episode.
Categorically
though.
Don't want to see Ken Roach doing it. But I think Banging with a Bus Pass is a new podcast.
Oh, Banging with a Bus Pass. Banging with a Bus Pass. Blimey, I think I'm about 9, 10, I'm only 10 years off getting one of those.
Darling, you'd be our first guest.
It is interesting when you look at the digits and you look at that, you know, obviously these are fictional characters that have been thrown together, but it's a story I'm sure that's been echoed more than once in real life. Case in point, Rupert Murdoch, 93.
Oh, don't. I can't about think
down
about
the
that.
Again. Well, unfortunately, you know, the world we live in, we all have to wrestle with those visuals. you thought, would I date if the universe has cleared a space and I find myself without a partner? Would I be, where would my ballpark be, so to speak?
I don't want to know where your ballpark is.
Would it be 20 years older? You know, would I go younger? What if the situation was reversed then? And, you know, if it was Rita taking a young lover?
You see, I wanted to see that storyline. Right. That's the disappointment for me. It's just cookie cutter, older guy, young. It's the kind of Hef, you know, enterprise, you know, and actually, why not flip it?
No, because you can't flip it because he's 91. So if you're flipping,
she's 100.
The pool is getting smaller as you go upwards, isn't it? Like, there's not many to pick from.
Yeah, but there's quite a few. You get a letter from the king at 100 years old. You just work out who's got to 100, whack them on screen.
It's like a nice database waiting there for us.
All right, Ken, we've got another one here, but probably got another few months left with this one, so don't get too attached.
So you think it would have been more interesting than if they didn't go down the Ken route, who has been, you know, he's had his fair share of action on the cobbles, hasn't he, over the last 64 years.
Wow.
I mean, he's
how many has he been through, do we think?
It's quite a lot.
Into the tens, surely.
Yeah.
This is like when you start going back over your list of people you've had sex with and you get to sort of Dean from Abbey National and then it goes a bit like quiet in your list. You're like, well, I think it's around 16, 17 through 80. Ken's list, what do we reckon it is? Let's all have a guess.
It's got to be a loose 30.
Somewhere around that.
34.
Around
that.
Yeah.
And there've been recurring ones, obviously.
But
he's certainly got form. Would we buy that chemistry on screen? I think we would. We'll put it this way. He's not any old nonagenarian. Is he? I mean, no. And, you know, he's not your average nonagenarian. I mean, he's a sprightly...
The way you say nonagenarian is inherently sexy.
I'm saying it like
sexy.
I don't even know it's a word.
Yeah, you weren't sure about it.
I'm not quite sure it's a word.
What does it even mean?
Well, it in your 90s.
Oh, octogenarian, nonagenarian.
Yes, exactly.
Centurion, is it?
Yeah.
If we're talking about that next week, that's where I draw the line.
I do buy the chemistry, though. I want to see it unfold. I'm happy for Ken.
It depends, though, because obviously I'm not even an avid Corrie viewer, but I feel like I've watched Bill Roach do a lot of snogging over the years. Yeah. Is it going to be like a... Are they going to make it a passionate one? Is it going to be banging with the bus pass?
Are they going to get the stepladder out and doing a bit of jiggy-jiggy on the kitchen counter?
They might listen to this, and if you see a rug or a little stepladder in there from IKEA, you'll be like, oh, there we go. Roach's at it again.
I think a lovely little love story to see him off into the Twilight era would be quite nice. I think that if they're going to be necking, I'm probably out.
Can you imagine if Ken's last storyline is him banging with a bus pass and then that's it's exit?
That's
he just
it.
Has a bit of a heart attack. He's gone.
If my cockles were still being warmed at that ripe old age, then I'd be a very, very happy man.
A happy nonagenarian.
A happy nonagenarian. Celebrity Bake Off is back. We're all under the tent, soggy bottoms and all of that. And it started on Sunday night. Stand Up for Cancer, great cause. Brilliant lineup this year. We've got Jodie Whittaker, who was in last night's episode. We're looking forward to seeing Mel B and Cockney King Danny Dyer also licking out the bowl, so to speak. Who rose to the top? Who ended up with a soggy bottom? Introducing last night's star baker.
Spencer.
We did it. We did it. Feels great. Didn't actually think I was going to win coming into this, so it hasn't all sunk in. It's amazing. Very proud to have been a part of it. Yeah, obviously this is the cherry on top. Yeah,
this is going to be
framed on the wall.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Spencer's Showstopper was definitely the best. It was multi-layered. He'd thought about it. And also, I loved his drawing. It was a triumph.
Spencer, our master baker. What a transformation.
It's a really good lineup this year, isn't it?
But it never actually fails, does it? I mean, there's been some stellar turns on that show. And I know it's for a good cause. I think the idea of baking in front of people for me would... I mean, that's...
Are you not a baker?
I'm not a baker. I am not. My mum used to make a lovely sponge.
Oh,
she used to make a lovely
Victoria.
Sponge. Victoria sponge, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, and a nice vanilla sponge and stuff. But I am not a baker, and I don't think I ever would be. I'd be interested to know how much sort of prep, because there was a lot of mentions last night about did you rehearse? I did Celebrity MasterChef, the first ever
did
series.
Did you practice?
Well, again, like as always with these shows, I'm always a late booking. And I know that we had to film my episodes sort of back to back. Now, we're talking about a time when you could have won it with a bolognese. It was, you know, a long, long time ago. It's like the early days of Strictly where they're dragging contestants
a Dickie
around
bolognese.
Like they're a Hoover. So, you know, you didn't need to have a lot of hoofing behind you back then when you did Strictly, and I certainly didn't have to have a lot of cooking experience. But I had a passion for it, and I was really keen to go on and learn even more. I think after my first couple of dishes, they both said to me, you eat out a lot more than you've probably let on. Which I thought that was brutal. I mean, my Tuscan bean broth went down a treat, and I did a perfectly good steak. The thing is, when you're presented with that mystery box of ingredients at the beginning,
when you pull out a veg, you're like, I've never seen that in my life.
Like, so there's like a kumquat and a beetroot or something, and you've got to come up with something. And that's when you realise there's no place to hide, because we're so used, as is apparent to our dear listener, we're so used to sort of filling dead air by talking. But when you're actually, when the camera's not on your face and you're trying to do a gag a minute or something like to talk your way out of a situation, the camera is just totally focused on your hands. So, you know, and my blue plasters bleeding out into all the ingredients. And it was terrifying.
I watched you on it with my mum, who, as you know, is a very harsh critic. And it was like, you know, at school where you get the prize for excellence and then there's always the prize for effort. I would say, Dickie A, it was an absolute bronze award. Well done, Poppet.
Yeah. Congratulations to rugby's Matt Dawson, who won it that year. But I remember everybody took it very, very seriously. Paul Young, the singer, he came in and he had his own set of knives.
Shut up.
He brought this
leather-bound. That's so nerdy thing to do, isn't it?
It was extraordinary. these rubbish. Chef's knives, yeah. But I mean, everyone was so passionate about it because, as I say, it was the first version in the actual show itself.
Can you imagine if you just turned up with your own IKEA pan, the standard IKEA wok?
Bring your own
all the gear, no idea.
I suppose my point is, for all of those competing, or as I say, albeit for a good cause, on a Celebrity Bake Off, I feel your pain. Jodie Whittaker was ricocheting all over the kitchen.
I loved her on
it, wasn't she? What a twinkler, what a sparkler.
She was my firm fave in it, you know?
And Paloma Faith, I mean, Paloma is such great value. I've got such a crush on her, because especially if you're ever in her orbit at the Brits or something, she's just terrific.
She's
value.
She's a vibe. Yeah. You know, she's got a new book coming out called MILF. Every other mother has written sort of like, how to wean your baby, how to, you know, like look after your child, you know, wean him 15. She's like, MILF!
Brilliant. Oh my God, that's great.
Paloma Faith, what is she teaching? On motherhood.
She's like, teaching how to just shout them out and raise a child.
I love it.
Good for her.
Did you see her?
Paloma, if you're listening, bring some of your emoji poop cakes that you cooked last night.
That was uncomfortable viewing.
Gross.
Just to get Paloma on here, that would
I'd love to get on here, but the poo popsicles were, oh God, even saying that
poo
is making me feel
is a
bit
horrible
rank.
Sentence.
What about the Ed Sheeran ones? Would you get your lips around that?
Always. In love with the shape of you, darling.
Absolutely.
Categorically.
I mean, I feel for everyone who's in that tent, actually. It's a lot of pressure. But then we know that Prue's moving on, and we know that my mate Alison Hamlet, of course, who competed on the show and then, of course, ended up with her name above the door of the tent, so to speak, and ended up sort of co-hosting it.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone could be...
Spencer's going to throw his hat into the ring after his win last night.
Thank you, Lauren. Yeah, last night's Master Baker.
Yeah, he done really well, didn't he?
He's turned it around. Do you remember, I mean, I was Made in Chelsea watcher and, you know, didn't have many firm, like, love for him in that time.
Well, he was a bit naughty
a womanizer.
Boy, wasn't he?
He was the absolute posh boy. But he has turned it around physically, I'm going to say. That washboard stomach
is
a triumph.
I saw him on Friday. Looked
Jesus
good.
Christ. Yeah. I'm sorry, but he is hot. Sorry to my new partner who I've just moved in with. But he's really turned it around. He's kind of like the posh Pete Wicks, you know, where they're sort of branded as something in the reality sphere. And then they spend a good decade turning it on its bottom and come out the other side, you know. Like
he did a whole documentary last year, didn't he, where he went to Everest to go and search for his brother's body.
And he is
up
a
there.
Really nice guy. I've been on a celebrity trek with Pete Wicks.
Yeah.
And I do a podcast where I cross over with Spencer. And I had the old versions of them in my mind.
Yeah.
And they have completely counted them at every second that I have seen them. To give you context to kind of Spencer, he's the sort of person that will buy the present for the producer for her birthday. It's just seeing these people, I think, who you have these expectations of.
Yeah.
Turn it around. And Pete Wicks is another one. You know, he was struggling to get away from that posh boy, that Essex boy veneer, and look at him rise.
Yeah.
These are my boys.
And you sort of grow up with them through the industry as well.
Yeah.
We had quite a lot of fun with Pete on I'm a Celebrity this year, because obviously he was over there as Sam's
That
best
was
mate.
Brilliant, the fact that he went over and Zara didn't.
Yeah.
So cute.
Zara was, they thought Zara might still be in Strictly. I think that
was
the rub,
that
wasn't
why?
It? Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, Pete's great. And again, you see these guys who, as you say, Anna and Lauren, you know, they have the optics around them are very different from your experience of actually being in their orbit. And they've always been complete gentlemen. They're always like asking how mum is and, you know, all that sort of thing. But they are cast to type, or at least initially were, weren't they?
And totally. And I think they've been getting over the hangover of that for 10 years. Mm. Do you know, Pete Wicks, when I was going through my divorce, we were on this celebrity track. He knew I was struggling. And he would come over and check in with me every day personally and be like, you're right. Like, honest, proper. And then at the end of it, he said, I just want you to know that you've made the bravest decision of your life. And I'm so proud of you. And this is where you think you're speaking to maybe a celebrity. You're actually speaking to a kind man who's calling his nan every other day.
Yeah.
And that is actually, like I said, the posh inversion of that is Spencer. Kind, thoughtful, empathetic. And I think you start to understand in this reality world how painful it must be to be typecast, you know, within the whole world of reality, and you're like, that's who you are. You are posh boy womanizer. You're Essex boy womanizer. Look how we've seen them come to the fore.
I mean, him in the podcasting world is huge. He does so well off the back of them. And I think with podcasting, as we are right now, it's all about just being yourself and being normal. And I think that's been a really good vehicle for him to just show that he's an actual decent bloke, basically.
It's sad, isn't it, when people go, oh, I thought he was something, but he's this. You know, like it's what they say about you all the time, Richard.
unfortunately, action. What you see is what you get.
You see is what you get.
Call a spade a spade.
No hidden depth whatsoever. Yeah. And he's joining the Male family with his own podcast as well, Everything I Know About Me. So there you have it. So yeah. He'll be doing even better.
I mean, it's where the money's at. It's where the money's at. So he knows how to... He's a good businessman, isn't he? So he's a shrewd guy.
I'd love to know what him and Vogue are like behind closed doors, because I think working with your partner, as I know post-divorce, having worked with my partner, it comes with certain frustrations.
I worked with my partner for 6 months and was Googling divorce lawyers after about 3 months of that. It's really, really hard, because you can really like a person and then they can tell you what to do in the workplace and you will be ready to like... cut them. Do you know, it's like it's
that's
bad.
Brutal.
It was bad. I was like, we need to go our separate ways right now in order for our relationship to flourish.
What were you working on together?
We were working on a TV show. So I was presenting and he was producing me basically. And I feel like I don't take kindly to being told what to do around the house by my other half, Luke. And clearly the same applied in the workspace. I don't know if in your houses there's one person that kind of is the guy, do you know what I mean, that does stuff and sort of sorts everything out. Well, that's me. So to then be told by him as a producer what to do, I was like, no.
No, we need a new podcast called Domestically Loaded, where we just get couples who are on the brink of divorce in. And we can follow it up from Love Handle Island, like, Domestically Loaded, who's on the brink?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Are you hissing at each other by the dishwasher?
It's hard.
Which is what I imagine Vogue and Spencer do behind closed doors, because they work closely together.
Vogue's joining the Male family as well. The Apple in the Tree is the name of her podcast. So we've got Vogue and Spencer behind closed doors, frank confessionals from both in podcasts. What Price, Helen Lederer and Bill Roach then doing the same thing.
Can't wait for that.
Now that we've conjured up them getting into a lather together, so to speak.
A lather?
Getting into a lather. So Spencer's probably the only person who hasn't been mentioned along with my good self in the same sentences who will be the next Bond. The great British public voted the actor they most want to replace Daniel Craig as James Bond. And they said it should be Idris Elba. Now, this is a question you don't ask Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
He doesn't take kindly to it, does he?
I managed to slip it in, so to speak, and it was fine. It was dealt with politely and batted away.
I put money on somebody about... 2 years ago, I swear to God, I put money on, oh my God, what's his name? Reggie John Page?
Yeah. Bridgerton.
Yeah, the Bridgerton hunk. I was like, nailed on. It's going to be him.
Why is Daniel Craig out?
Daniel Craig's gone.
Okay.
Oh, where have you been?
I like Danny. I'm like, where's Danny?
Yeah, so clearly you're a big Bond fan, Anna. Yeah, the reason we're having this heated debate is that Daniel Craig hung up his tux quite a few years
always
ago.
Always on the front line of celebrity gossip.
It's good that she's on the celebrity gossip podcast, isn't
right.
it?
Look, I earned my stripes on Practical Caravan. You can't expect magic here.
That's the pedigree I was talking about earlier.
That's the pedigree.
Right, okay. Given the fact that we've broken the news here on the sidebar to Anna that Daniel Craig is no longer playing Bond, is there anyone that you'd personally like to see in the running? And I must, I'm going to take myself out of the equation,
of
which will come as a huge disappointment.
I like an older Bond. As I'm getting older, I'm like, yeah, I want to know that he's of a certain age, a certain sort of vintage, like a fine red wine.
Right.
You know, that's kind of the vibe I'm going for.
You want Bill Roach?
I want to, yeah. If I was going to bang a Bond, that's another podcast, Banging Bond.
Yeah. You're pitching for a lot of podcasts. Yeah. You really are padding your part.
What have we got? Banging with a bus pass, Banging Bond.
They've all got a similar vibe.
Love Handle Island. Yeah. I think, even though he's a little bit of a bad boy, I do think Cillian Murphy for me.
Yeah,
that's my
he's
final.
Got something. I think
he's
it'd
got
great
something.
To have, it's great to have someone with a bit of an edge.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'm not like
a
thriller kind of girl. I'm not really in it for the cars or the action, but I would like to see someone very, very sexy have a martini.
So you don't want to see Bond get a stepladder out, is that what you're trying
to say? I'll pass on that. Yeah. I'll pass on that. Yeah.
Your bus pass on that.
I'll bus pass on
and
that.
And there she goes, her final podcast pitch. Thank you, Anna. It's been an absolute joy. Anna and Lauren. And for you, the listener, may I thank you for joining us on The Sidebar today. You can email us at thesidebar@mailonline.co.uk. Comment on Spotify, of course. Send us a WhatsApp or voice note on 07796657512. That's 07796657512. Start your message with the word Sidebar and give us a follow and a 5-star review. It'll make the world of difference. Don't forget, Sidebar or it didn't happen. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Anna.
And I'm Emily, and we're the hosts of Terribly Famous, the show that takes you inside the lives of our biggest celebrities.
And in this season, we're talking about a fashion icon.
Oh, I just threw this on.
A muse, a mother, a supermodel who defined the 90s.
It's not me, is it?
It is, of course, Kate Moss. Think parties, rock star bad boys, mall parties.
It's a wild ride.
Follow Terribly Famous wherever you listen to podcasts, or listen early and ad-free on Wondery Plus on Apple Podcasts or the Wondery app.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Our hit series, Everything I Know About Me, is back for a brand new season. And this time, our guest needs no introduction.
I'm coming to find me, Darren!
But here's one anyway.
Hi, I'm Gemma Collins, and this is Everything I Know About Me.
If you think you know all about Gemma Collins, think again, because this is the GC as you've never heard her before.
It's been exhausting.
Unashamed.
And I was really heartbroken because I was pregnant and he was having an affair.
Unfiltered.
I have had an operation as well years ago. I have a designer vagina. Yeah, baby. I don't have camel toe.
Unbelievable.
And then they advised me, you need to have a termination. And, yeah, I remember that being really stressful.
Everything I Know About Me with Gemma Collins is out this Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.